to bring us to the perfect place. Though we are tested, though we are tried, yet in the midst of it all, we can have peace of mind. For the trying of the faith, it will keep patience. He restored my soul. He gives me the strength to keep pressing on.
Amen.
Sometimes we pray, oh Lord, please take our lives. Lord, we just can't go on. We don't know what to do. But it's in that hour.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Where that angel comes to strengthen for the journey ahead.
Amen.
For in our weakness, His strength is made perfect, and His grace is sufficient for us.
Hallelujah.
the feelings of my infirmities. Saying, touch not mine anointed, for every time I fail, there is an atonement. El Shaddai, Adonai, El Elyon, perfection is your name.
So when last year was very late, I think it was 2 o'clock or three, I don't know, 2 o'clock when the testimonies were given more and more, everyone was tired and I just keep in my heart, like I have to go, but then I see everyone was tired and Brother Joe was very tired as well. I said, no, I will just keep this one. I will say next week something came out, next week. So I was like, so then it was too late to say testimony about New Year's. So I just, okay, let me, in my heart, I feel today I couldn't get out of this. To not say this, to say thank you for God to me, because for me it was I'm a young Christian and I'm learning every day. And I like to think I grow. So anyway, short story short, I hope. My work, the way it works, is whoever starts at 12, the workplace is open from 12 to 12. So whoever starts at 12, finish at 10, 1, 9. So at that day, in last year, I started at 4. So I supposed to stay till 12, that's how this works. So I knew, when I see the roster, I knew I don't have a chance to go to the last year Thanksgiving service. So I knew it, and I just was very sad in myself, because I was a softie. When my boss need me, and he asked me to go, I go, because I know he's my friend. I said to somebody lately, I wish my boss would be not friend, because it would be easier to tell him no, or whatever. Anyway, I was softy, so I didn't say anything, I keep my peace. But closer to that day, when was the service, I feel in my heart such a big pain. So I went night before actually, I came back from work, and I went. I went to the field where they used to pray, the place they live, and I looked at the stars, and I pray, I said, God, forgive me. Because I messed up. I need to stop. I don't know how to say no. And I prayed as best I could. And I went home. And that day, I said to my wife, look, it's impossible for me to go to service. It's a busy, busy day of the year. And he needs me. So I said, My wife, she said, my wife, she's a precious wife. She said, take your church clothes just in case. And I said,
Amen.
That's a good advice. Since look her fighting me to stay with her, she actually encouraged me to go. I said, that's my God bless her heart. So I took the bus, and then I went to my boss. But the reason I'm saying this testimony, because it's maybe 1 year old, but it's still fresh for me today, and I believe for somebody here. That's why I'm saying this. I'm just saying this for glorify to God. So, story's almost finished. I went to the car, and I drive, and I pray even more. I feel burning my heart to say, God, I messed up. I shouldn't do this. I should tell my boss, give something, to even ask him. I was too afraid to even ask him because I wanted to be disappointed, angry, whatever. But I said, God, even now, you can do something for me. So I pray. I went to work, and I said, I went a little bit earlier to try to arrange something. And I said, look, it's that service in church. I said, why you never told me before? I said, look, I was afraid. Because he was like, So look, that person started at 12 on this New Year's. Everyone will go out and do go to party. How do you expect them to kind of ask them to? You start at 4, finish at 8 or 9. How? I said, look, let me talk to them. So I went, he was talking to them. I came back, he said, look, she owe you a favor, he owe you a favor. I talked to them, they stay longer for you to go. And for me, I was shocked.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
I didn't know what's going on. I said, oh, thank you so much. So he tried best, I was like, 9 o'clock I went. As soon as I crossed the step, David really didn't want me to be last year. I felt so sick. I felt dizzy. I couldn't stay on my feet. It was a lot of praising, a lot of dancing, but I stand against this. And I was thanking God for him to allow me to be last year. So this year I was a little bit smarter. I told my boss with advance, I said, look, I need to go. I was sure it started at 9. I don't know, make me stop the dates. So I said to him, is 9 o'clock be okay for you? I said, yeah. He said, 9 o'clock will try my best to let you go at 9. Day before, when I was driving home, I was praying, and something in my heart told me, why you say 9? When you leave at 9 o'clock, you will be here at 10 o'clock. That's kind of already pushing it 1 hour. Again, I was thinking start at 9. He said, why you not say 8? So I said to my heart, that's a good one. I said, Lord, I want you to tell me I can go at 8. Mm-hmm. I said, and I keep it that in my heart. I didn't say anything. I just worked my best. My boss looked at me. He's like, okay, great. Okay, maybe let you go at this. He said, you know what? Go at 7:30.
Amen.
I texted her before. I said, look, maybe 9, maybe 30, you ready? When I called her at 7:30, she was shocked. I was shocked myself, but all glory goes to God. And the reason I'm saying this, because maybe somebody here is who, I don't know, going through things for me in kind of that little small world I'm living. For me, for my boss, let me go was impossible.
Amen.
But even I pray, I said, God, whatever you're going through now, just say, how about just, we could all say in our hearts, God, even now.
Amen.
Whatever it's, maybe it's, I don't know, it's a school, job, maybe papers, whatever it is, just say, maybe not, don't let anyone go from here to say, God, it's impossible for people in this world, but for you, even now,
Amen.
Do something for me.
Amen.
So that's it. And I was thinking to write a poem to the God last few weeks, and just didn't work out. And I just, if I don't feel, I don't know, you can call inspiration to write, I'm not writing, because I know it comes from bread. So I was waiting, I was praying about it, and I said, God, the time's running out when I want to do the poem special to thank you for what you did for me. Please help me, because I don't want this hope from me. And I pray again a few nights before. And it's interesting how it works with my poems. God always gives me last two verses. And it's strange, because I was thinking, this is the prayer today. I said, I have poem, and God always gives me last two verses, and upon those two verses, I write from the beginning. So for me, I don't know how this works.
Amen.
It's a very strange, because I said, God, I want this to be for your glory. So allow me to just read a poem for his glory. Forgive me, I didn't read that poem many times. I hope I'm nervous. Brother James always says before she's singing, I said, I'm very nervous. And brother, how would you know this one? I'm very nervous. I can't imagine what I would do if I wouldn't be a Christian. I can't live without Lord Jesus. I don't think I can. Sometimes when I'm lying in my bed, taking one after another breath, I'm wondering what would happen if he never called me. Sometimes I'm wondering where today would I be. Probably I would speak a dirty language. Probably I would have a lot of money, be very rich. Probably flirt with a woman doing that kind of nonsense. Probably watching things I'm not supposed to watch. Touching things I'm not supposed to touch. Probably I wouldn't have a family because I would do things very silly. Then laying down, I remember when he called. When I invite him into my heart, when I respond, tears start falling down from my eyes. That my heart is hot for him, not cold like evil ice. Then I start thanking him for his amazing grace, that he was passing by and he turned on me his face. I'm starting to thank him for his love, that he helped me being a lamb while he is a dove. And like this song, I start counting blessings and name them one by one, thanking him for what he has done, thanking him for changing my heart. I better finish now, but I feel like I just want to start. And in the end, when he was on the cross, he did this for us. He went on Calvary Road willingly, and that's the truth. Because when he was on the cross, he saw me, and he saw you.
Bye. like we should have a crossover service every month. And it's really been wonderful, and I'm still looking forward to more. I see everybody still up, even the children.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for his presence in our midst.
Amen.
Just as the musicians walk away there, let us read in the scriptures. I would like to read in two places, in the book of Psalms and in the book of Kings. First, let's read Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1.
Amen.
This was a key that was sent to me the day I turned 21 years old.
Amen.
My brother said, this is your key. You are a man now. This is the way you must walk. It's been a key all my life.
Amen.
I wish to share with it to you tonight. This one says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he does shall prosper.
Yes, sir.
The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I love that chapter. I just read the rest of it because it's just impossible to read just half of it. But I wanted just to speak on that first verse that we have there. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Amen.
Let us turn again to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. We'll just read a couple of verses there. Verse 24. 2 Kings 6, 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cap of dove's down for 5 pieces of silver. Let us see. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your word.
Amen.
It never fails. It is true. It is always true. And we thank you for the word that has already gone forth from
this
moment. I pray now, Lord Jesus, that you may help me tonight. Lord, that I may bring some of this word again to your people to help us, Father, to go forward in thy word, to believe it, Lord, and to take our possession that the enemy has taken away from us.
Hallelujah.
Commit this night into your hands. Bless us now, Lord, in Jesus'
name.
Amen.
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 Amen. So I would like to speak tonight on a little topic, taking my context from the place we have just read in the book of Kings, where Samaria was under siege. And I would like to speak on breaking the siege.
Amen.
Because that's what happens to many of us as Christians. We've heard the word that went forth here when Brother Maxwell came and spoke on perfection.
Amen.
And Brother Maxwell Jr. came and spoke, stand and do all and stand.
Amen.
And many times as Christians, we have a desire in ourselves to do these things, to go out and be fruitful in our lives, to go out there and take cargo for Christ, to go to Galway and do some work for the Lord, not just to become an ordinary Christian. We have that desire many times, and we are good people. We are not people that desire to go to the movies, the pubs, and things like that. We are desiring to serve the Lord.
Amen.
But somehow there seems to be something in the life of many believers today that is blocking that.
That's
and
right.
We wonder what it is. Yeah. Many times a sister has a desire to present herself as a sister. A brother has a desire to do that which is right, but somehow the enemy has got people under siege.
Mm.
And these are people of God, the children of God.
Yeah.
And just like we read there in the book of Samaria, I would like to speak a little bit about that. Samaria was the capital city of the northern tribes of Israel. This was not a small city. I would like to imagine there was more people in Samaria than in Jerusalem, because there was only 2 tribes. But here we had 10 tribes. And this king Ben-Hadad came, and he laid a siege on that city. He laid a siege. If you continue to, if you read in verse 25, said there was a great famine. What happened? He came with his armies and surrounded that city until nobody could go out. No one could bring anything in. That's the life of many a believer. A good child of God, desiring to serve the Lord, but they just can't seem to be fruitful in any area in their life. They just have, can't seem to, perhaps it could manifest, this siege can manifest in your life as a sickness. Yeah. And you just can't seem to shake it. For a young man it could be, he desires to do what is right.
That's right.
But his eyes seem to be attracted many times to things that will cause you to last.
That's
and
right.
You wonder, why am I like this? Why can't I seem to overcome this
thing?
It's because the enemy many times, he comes to the life of a person and lays a siege around you.
Right.
He can't come in to cause you to actually do the sin. But he lays the siege in a way that you become unfruitful in your
life.
That's
right.
Amen.
Time is going in your life. You just can't seem to be able to even get a promise in the Bible manifest in your life.
That's right.
Because God promised his children will not beg for bread.
Right.
But things can come to a place in the life of a believer. I know this to be true because it happened to me.
Yeah.
It can come to a place where you start walking up and down a street looking for a 5-cent coin to make things meet. A child of God, what has happened? The devil has laid a siege on your finances.
My.
And this is the thing that has happened to many of us today. But we want to look just briefly to see how do we break this siege.
Amen.
How do we move from earth here where we are living to go and enter into the sun where our lives becomes eternity, like Brother Eddie was saying.
Amen.
How do we manage to take the armor of God that Brother Maxwell Jr. was talking about and start to use it to inflict damage on the kingdom of the enemy?
Amen.
Many, many times it's because of the cancer that we are walking
with. Amen.
Because cancer is a very important aspect of your life and mine. Until God, in the book of Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. But that is our trouble many times.
That's
we come in here, the word is preached, and we believe it.
Amen.
And we are so on fire to go and put it in our lives. That's godly counsel, friends.
Amen.
And then we go out there, the next thing you are looking something on Facebook, it gives you another version of counsel, which is a counsel from the ungodly people.
That's right.
Amen. And you still expect that God will bless you.
No.
It will not happen.
That's right.
Amen. Will always vindicate his way, no matter what happens or what. No matter how sincere you are in what you are doing, the only thing that God will ever vindicate is his word.
Amen.
So if God says,
right,
blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, as long as you are walking in this counsel, you are not a blessing. You might get a Cadillac. You might get a fancy house. But there's no blessing of God in it.
Amen.
And somehow, somewhere, it will find you out.
Right.
But blessed is the man that walks in the counsel of the godly.
Amen.
So if you were to find out this year that is passing, why was I not fruitful in this area, this area, this area? Check the counsel that you were walking in.
That's right.
Amen.
Was it counsel that was given by godly men?
Hallelujah.
Or was it counsel that you followed your own fallen nature? Or was it counsel that was given by some ungodly people? That's the danger there. Because you absolutely need counsel.
That's right.
We use counsel in our lives to make decisions.
Amen.
You will never find in this Bible a place where it says, Wilmore, move with your family, go and stay in Ireland. But many times we need to make decisions like that. So what do? We come to a place where we counsel with one another. I need to make a decision. What should I do? I remember years ago, just watching the time if I should say this or not. Years ago when I lost my job, when I just come to Ireland, and everything was against me. 3 years I stayed at home, me and my wife, we wake up, we cook breakfast for one another. I was earning from social welfare. There was nothing. Then a desire came in me to say, I've got to do something.
Amen. Mm.
The season was just right for me to break the siege that the enemy had put on my life.
Amen.
What did I do?
Amen.
I prayed about it. I got in the car with my wife. We drove up to see a man of God up there in the north.
Mm.
And we sat down. And we spoke, and godly counsel came out of that.
Yeah.
And I right. determined in my heart that I will walk in this counsel.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the siege was broken the
Hallelujah.
Moment that I decided that I would take this godly counsel.
Amen.
God loves that.
Amen.
When two mortal people sit together,
Amen.
And they begin to discuss and counsel one another.
Amen.
And then one of them says godly counsel to the other. It pleases God.
Hallelujah.
My son is taking my word and using it to break a siege on this other side.
Right.
And then God does the rest of the work.
Hallelujah.
I am encouraged by that little story of Lion and Banks Woods. When they were with the prophet in the bush, and they were fellowshipping about the Lord, they spoke about the Lord, the prophet said. But God never really drew near.
Mm.
All the great testimonies that the prophet spoke in that boat with those two brothers, the Lord never really drew as near.
Yeah.
But it was when one of those brothers said something that pleased the Lord. Say, maybe we ought to go
Hallelujah.
To speak to that lady, to tell her that we are
Amen.
Now Christians.
Amen.
The brother was telling the other brother something to do. It was counsel. And it pleased the Lord until super anointing came upon them.
Amen.
Amen.
And that happened. They imagine the display of power that God showed that day. A dead fish.
Hallelujah.
Had come out. And it was dead as anything. But
Hallelujah.
The word was spoken over that fish and it lived again.
Amen.
The same thing that can happen to any situation, any
That's right.
in your life today.
Amen.
If you were to take even half of the things that were spoken here before I came, I'm telling you, there's no siege that the enemy can lay against
Amen.
You. And as we are going into this new year here, this is the thing that if there's any area in your life which is not fruitful, let us break the siege.
Amen.
The enemy lays a siege against you to make you unfruitful, to cause you to die
Amen.
In the end.
Amen.
Because if you go back to the city of Samaria here, he laid a siege until the head of an ass. Sorry, John. Is that right, brother?
Amen. Amen.
Was sold for 80 pieces of silver. And the dove's dung, a dove, its own dung, was sold for some pieces of silver. The economy had become so bad in the life of a brother that when people say, brother, can we come to visit you to your house? He shies away and gives an excuse because he's got nothing to entertain the people.
Yeah.
Is that really what should be manifesting in the life of a son of God?
No.
No. Something has happened. That's not the condition that God wants you to be. The enemy is laying siege on you to try and stifle some part of your life that you are supposed to manifest. And the end result of that, you get disappointed and then you will die spiritually. Look at what happened in Samaria. As the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, what shall I help thee? It didn't have anything to help this woman. Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press. And the king said, I'm on verse 28. Says, the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said to me, give thy son that we may eat him today. They came to that place. This is the word of God. These things happened. And the Bible says it happened for our example.
Right.
Things can come to a place in the life of a brother where you begin to pull some deals with other brothers that you can't even imagine a brother would do a thing like that.
Mm.
Because not you are evil. This woman was not an evil woman.
Yeah.
I'm sure she loved her son. But all because the enemy has laid a siege on him. And you can't see no other way out but to pull such a deal. Give us your son that we eat. And this woman said, give thy son that we may eat today, and we'll eat thy son tomorrow.
Wow.
So we boiled my son.
Aye.
And did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat. And she has hid her son. She was a good woman. But because of circumstances, they came to a place where they began to do things unimaginable as believers. And we as believers, if we allow the enemy to lay siege on us, it can bring us to such a place.
Right.
But let's read on and see what happened. Because, verse 30, it came to pass when the king heard the words. So I'll just skip that verse. When the king heard this, he was very wroth, of course, with Elisha, being the prophet in that day. But verse 32, Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, see how this son of a murderer has sent to take away my head. Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door, hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he yet talked with him, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. What shall I wait for the Lord any longer? Then verse 7. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord. This is very important.
Amen.
Because what has been preached here today, Brother Maxwell Jr., Brother Maxwell Sr., Brother Eli, thus said the Lord to us.
Amen.
The word of the message of the hour. Imagine when the prophet in those days would speak and say, thus said the Lord.
Amen.
That was as good as money in the bank.
That's right.
They say. So today when you read from his word,
amen,
which is a more sure word,
amen,
than any,
amen,
word that was spoken here, if you read it from the Bible here,
right,
it's a more sure word.
Amen.
And you say,
amen,
thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time,
amen,
shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. This was a complete reversal of the circumstances. And he says, tomorrow by this time. So tomorrow by this time,
amen,
the brother sitting here,
oh, yes,
what he doesn't have.
Amen. Amen.
This time,
amen,
tomorrow,
amen. Hallelujah.
But the problem with many people many times, when it's said like this, listen to that man. That's true. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? This is mockery of the word of God.
Amen.
The Lord has said, thus saith the Lord,
amen,
you will have your healing tomorrow by this time.
Amen.
Yet he said, even if he opens the windows of heaven, man, this was unbelief. But if you notice here now, when Elisha was speaking to the people here, this was, thus said the Lord. It was a season in which God had determined to change the circumstances of Samaria.
Amen. Amen.
It was a season in which, if you could have believed what Elisha says, things in your life would turn for the good.
Amen.
That's exactly the season that I feel that we are in now.
Amen.
If you can believe that we are in such a season today, by the time we come here next year at this time,
hallelujah,
the testimonies that you give here,
amen,
will be something that will,
oh, yes,
be out of the fiction.
That's right.
Say, my son that was lost.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And he's standing here singing.
Amen.
Something like that, that is unimaginable,
oh, yes,
today, but it's possible with the word of God.
Amen.
Say, my marriage that was on the rocks and it was boring. We were even looking, how do you divorce people in Ireland? But you could be standing here next year singing together.
Hey,
if you don't believe it, as much as the word.
Hey, man.
So imagine. And the Bible says in verse 3, there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. These men were not even sitting where Elisha was sitting.
Right.
They didn't even hear what Elisha said. To say tomorrow, this time things will be different. They were outcasts. There were people that when you are walking out of church, many times you'd be like, I should greet the deacon before I go. I should greet Brother Eli. I should greet Brother Maxwell. Oh, I didn't see Brother so-and-so. But there are some people you never even think of. You just walk past them like they mean nothing. These were the kind of people. And they caught the revelation of the system.
Amen.
They entered in to the the desire of God at that time, because God wanted to change things for somebody.
Amen.
Listen what they did. They said one to another.
That's right.
This is beautiful.
Hallelujah.
When brothers sit together,
hallelujah,
and they say one to another,
amen,
not to meet and talk about, you realize how much opportunity you are losing,
amen,
by sitting and talking of football,
amen,
by sitting and talking of cars, or we must talk of some other things, but it's such a great opportunity when a brother rings, brother, I'm in the area.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back to America before I see you.
Amen.
Can you make opportunity so we can meet? And then when two mortals meet,
hallelujah,
and they begin to say one to another.
Amen.
If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. And we shall die there. You go back to your same old ways of 2017.
My man.
You will die there.
Right.
We were watching a video Brother Eli put on the website the other day. Many of the signs that we walked with. You could never have imagined that we won't be walking with them in 10 years' time. But where are they today?
It's
so
right.
You could also be sitting here,
amen,
under siege,
amen,
and thus saith the Lord has gone forth. You don't believe it, you don't take it.
Man.
We'll be talking of you years down the line.
Amen.
And you are no more among the saints.
Amen.
But these people here, if we go back in the city, we will die. And if we sit still here, we die also.
Right.
So if you continue to sit in your attitude,
hallelujah,
and don't
thank
take
you
that, said the Lord,
Amen.
Continue coming to church,
Amen,
to continue singing songs here,
Amen,
but if your life has been under siege,
oh,
and you sit and do nothing, you will die also.
Amen.
This is what these men did. Now, therefore, come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. The prophet, when he speaks of this area here, he says there was a little possibility. That's all we need tonight,
sir.
Just a little possibility, because they say if we go to the Syrians, they might kill us. The possibility of them killing them was even greater than of saving them. But that's where the little possibility was. And that's where they went. Say, let's go there. Now, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. If they stayed there, they were going to die anyhow. So take the plunge and go into Christ.
Hallelujah.
That's the only place where they
Amen. Oh, yes.
If
right.
Tonight, you are not asked to go into the camp of the enemy as this man. But you are asked to go to the Father's house.
Amen.
In Father's house.
Oh, yes.
A greater grace could there be than that?
Right.
Come unto me, all you that labor.
Amen.
I'll give you rest.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Why don't you take that little possibility?
Amen. And
say, I will go unto the Lord tonight.
Amen.
I know I have done many evil things over
Amen.
This year.
Yes.
But there is a little possibility.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you remain where you are, you will die.
That's right.
Go back to the world to your old friends, you will die.
That's right.
There is a little chance.
Hallelujah.
There is a little possibility. Amen.
Yes.
Say, no, no. I never supported this past year the efforts of evangelism in Kalu. I never supported anything in the church. I was just warming the seat there. But I want to do something for the Lord.
Amen.
And there's a little possibility.
Hallelujah.
Little.
Yes.
That is all that you need.
Amen.
If you take that tonight like these men took, the prophet said, God was pleased.
Yes.
He was pleased. And they began, it says, the following morning by twilight, they began to go. So tomorrow morning, the very early you begin, or even tonight, they began to go to the camp of the Syrians, and as they were going talking, God multiplied
their
voices. He multiplied their voices.
Amen.
And when the Syrians heard, they said, oh my.
Hallelujah! Amen!
How the seed of Samaria was
born
by four lepers.
Amen.
People that were outcasts, that were considered nothing,
Hallelujah.
But they took godly counsel among themselves.
Amen.
And they thought they were going there just so the four of them can be saved. But is that what happened? No. They went there thinking only four of us. They went and nobody in the camp. They fled and they began to eat, take things and hide them. And what? And one of them said, again, godly counsel.
Hallelujah.
One of them said, what we are doing is not right.
Amen.
That's what Brother Max Jr. was saying.
Amen.
What we are doing is not right.
Amen.
That we come to church, we go home, we come to church, we sing a song, we come to church, and we have this great truth that we are holding.
Amen.
This is not right, saints.
Amen.
The thing that we must do is what these lepers did.
Amen.
They knew there's a city full of people dying.
Amen. Right.
Brothers, I don't know about you, but me and my three brothers, we are going down to
Calvary. Hallelujah!
Me and my three brothers, we are going down to Calvary. The city for the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Brethren, this is the thing that pleases the Lord.
Amen.
And when you walk in such counsel, when you walk in such godly counsel, I'm telling you, brothers, my life has never been the same.
Amen.
At the moment I quote it as a revelation, that you walk in godly counsel, and forsake all other counsel.
Right.
Forsake all other counsel. Because that's where many a young person makes a mistake.
That's right.
Is that they hear godly counsel, and then they go out there, they hear the counsel of the young man that they grew up with. Of course, I'm talking of Jeroboam, the son of Solomon. He was consulted by the people, said, what can you lighten the burden? After his father died,
that's
he
right.
was to become king. Rehoboam, he was to become king, and the people came and said, please lighten your father's burden. It was hard for him to make a decision on his own. He did the right thing in that he said, come back to me after 3 days. I will consult. And he consulted with the old man that stood in the courts of his father, and they told him godly counsel what he should have done.
Amen.
But did he take it?
No.
The Bible says he forsook the counsel of the old man.
Yes, sir.
And he took the counsel of the young man that he had grown up with. He said, leave those brothers. Listen to Brother Will. You don't know him. He is a crank, you know? And you take the counsel of the young man that you grow up with, and what happened? He lost the 10
right.
tribes.
That's right.
Amen. Is so important.
Amen.
It can make or break a good young man.
Amen.
Remember when Absalom, when he came and took over the kingship from his father, David, you can see his attitude before he left the city. He knew that I'm coming back. He was like, ah, don't take that, leave it in good place. Leave those people to look after things, peradventure, this and that happens and we come back. And he left. But it was when David was told that Ahithophel is with Absalom. Rather, he knew that talking to Ahithophel, the Bible says his counsel was as if you are consulting from God himself.
Right.
That's the power in counsel. Because when Ahithophel spoke, it was as if God is speaking. But when David heard Ahithophel is with them, he said, oh God, defeat the counsel of Ahithophel.
Amen.
It was, and if you go and read the counsel that Ahithophel gave, if Absalom had followed that, we wouldn't be talking of David tonight. But it was because God wanted to defeat it.
Amen.
You serious counsel, like the counsel that we have heard from here tonight.
Amen.
I urge you, brothers and sisters, if you take godly counsel tonight,
hallelujah,
you will break every siege in your life.